Turning our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. We'll start reading at verse 1. When you have it, stand to your feet. Read the Word of God together this morning. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I'd like for us to notice that fourth verse. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Jesus.
You may be seated. We're going to preach this morning by the help of the Lord on distinguished by the resurrection. Distinguished by the resurrection. Of all the people who've ever lived, there is one who stands alone in greatness and grandeur. Nobody else like him in all of history. He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. This word declared to be the Son of God. That word declared means distinguished. He was distinguished as the Son of God. Set apart as the Son of God. Marked out as the Son of God. Identified as the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, the resurrection of Christ illuminated the importance of Jesus, distinguished him from all other persons, and marked him out as being unique among men. He is the divine Son of God. Now the resurrection was the climax of a process that God had gone through in the life of Jesus, marking him out, distinguishing him over time, during his life and during his ministry, making people aware that there was something different about this man. We see that the difference in the fact that he was deity, divine, the Son of God. Now the Bible tells us that he was born, in my text, he was born according to the flesh as a son of David. And nobody had any problem with that. It was known and admitted that he was the Son of David, that he could trace his lineage all the way back to King David, Israel's greatest king. We have the genealogy of Jesus given to us in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3. And both of those genealogies take us back through the lineage of David. And that's not a trivial fact that Jesus was a descendant of King David. It was a noble lineage. It was a royal lineage. It was a lineage that would produce the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Israel's King, and Israel's Savior. So it was important that he was part of the lineage of David. He was the son of David. You remember that some of the people who came to Jesus needing help, this is the way they approached him. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Well recognized that he was the son of David according to the flesh. On one occasion, after Jesus had spoken to a multitude at a feast in Jerusalem, they had a discussion among themselves concerning Christ. This is what they said. John 7:42. Hath not the scriptures said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So they understood that the Messiah would be the son of David, and that he would be born in the town of Bethlehem, which was the city of David. And indeed, Jesus met those qualifications. He was born in Bethlehem, and he was of the lineage of David. But that alone was not sufficient to identify Jesus as the Messiah. That was important, that he was the son of David. But there were others who were sons of David who were not the Messiah. And others, perhaps, who were born in Bethlehem as a son of David, but they were not the Messiah. But there's something different about Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated to the Jews that the Messiah must also be the Son of God. You remember that question that Jesus asked the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? He asked. And then the Jews answered him and said to him, the son of David. Now listen closely to what Jesus said. They got it right. They said, he is the son of David. But Jesus continued. He said, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, and he quotes from Psalm 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This is Jesus talking now. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And the Pharisees didn't have an answer for that. Jesus was demonstrating by this saying the dual relationship of the Messiah to David. He was David's son. Y'all getting this? He was David's son, and he was also David's Lord. Hallelujah. So he had a dual relationship with David, David's son, and at the same time, David's Lord. In other words, Jesus would be, the Messiah would be, not only the son of David, but he would be the son of God. So he's not only the branch of David, he's the root of David. He's not only the son of David, he's David's creator and David's Lord. And Jesus indicated by this saying that the Messiah must meet two qualifications. He must not only be the son of David, he must also be the son of God. Now the identity of Jesus as the son of God was known by a limited group during his life. Jesus knew who he was. You remember when he was 12 years of age in the temple talking with the doctors. And Mary and Joseph came looking for him, missed him for 3 days, found him in the temple, corresponding, talking with the doctors of the law, and they said, do you not know that we have sought you sorrowing? And Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Oh, hallelujah. And he was not talking about Joseph when he said, my Father. He was talking about God in heaven. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He understood at that young age that he was marked out and distinguished and set apart. He was the Son of God. The devils knew who he was. They understood that Jesus was the Son of God over and over again. When Jesus was dealing with devils and demons and people, they spoke and said, we know who you are. You are the Son of God. Mark chapter 3 and verse 11, after Jesus had healed and cast out devils, unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. So the devils recognized who he was. They knew the identity of Jesus, that he was the Son of God. The disciples knew who Jesus was. You remember at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am?
Peter answered for them and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you, this is such a wonderful truth. This is such a glorious truth that it's a truth undiscovered by man's ingenuity or intellect. It's a truth that's only revealed in the heart. My Father hath revealed this unto you, that Jesus is the Son of God. Are y'all with me still? The disciples knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God. Hey, look. Look at that centurion. Standing at the foot of the cross. Listening to the words of Jesus. Observing the miracles that took place around the crucifixion of Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, that centurion who had participated in that crucifixion said, this was his testimony. Truly, this was the Son of God, he said. Brother, he became convinced by what he saw and heard out of Jesus. Now, he was the Son of God. Now, listen, are y'all still with me now? Hallelujah. I want to tell you that everybody who grasped this fact that Jesus is the Son of God was deeply affected by that revelation to their heart that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible tells us that devils believe and they tremble. They understand who Jesus is, and they're deeply affected by the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. They knew they could not resist his authority. When Jesus spoke to them and said, come out of him, devils had to do the bidding of the Son of God. They were reduced to panic-stricken pleadings, crying, don't send us into the deep. Don't punish us before our time. They pleaded with the Son of God. They feared the Son of God. They understood who he was, and they were deeply affected by this revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. The disciples believed. It made them followers of Jesus to the point that they were willing to forsake all to follow the Son of God. Some people decided at one point that Jesus' sayings were too rough for them. So they walked away from Jesus. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? Y'all remember this? And Peter spoke up and said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And listen, he went on to say, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We don't have anywhere to go. You have the words of truth. We are sure. We know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It affected them, hallelujah, knowing that Jesus was the Son of God. I ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you thoroughly convinced this morning in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm going to tell you, you can say it with your mouth, you can acknowledge it in your head, but until you grasp it with your heart, you'll never be affected by this like you need to be. Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. John told us in his gospel, he said, this is the reason I'm writing this gospel. He told us in John chapter 20, verse 31, the reason he wrote, these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. I'm here to tell you, you cannot believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, really believe it without being deeply affected by that understanding of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. You know that in spite of all of the evidence of who Jesus was, and Jesus had plenty of it as he went along through his ministry, miracles piled upon miracles. But his enemies refused to believe in Jesus. The miracles did not convince them, did not persuade them. In fact, they dismissed his miracles as being the work of devils. They said he does his miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And so they dismissed the miracles of Christ, attributing it to the power of Satan. And then, y'all listening, they asked for a sign. Show us a sign from heaven. And they had all of these multitudes of miracles. And they said, show us a sign from heaven. In other words, they were asking Jesus to perform an immediate miracle, some visible wonder that would give them confidence in Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, now y'all listen. So we want you to perform a wonder immediately. Immediate wonder that will give us confidence in Jesus. That multitude of miracles that Jesus had performed before their eyes. Y'all hear me? That multitude of miracles that Jesus had performed before their eyes had only hardened their hearts and made them hostile to the Son of God. And now then they're asking Jesus for one more miracle. Give us a sign so that we can put confidence in you. And Jesus referred to them like this: an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Oh, he knew what kind of people they were. He knew how they turned him down. All the miracles that he performed had only hardened their heart against him. And he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the... And as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So instead of giving them an immediate sign, he promised them a future sign. 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. Now y'all hear me now. In saying this, Jesus was defining the limits to his stay in the grave. He was saying to them, this is the sign. You want the sign? I'm going to give you a sign. I want you to understand right now, the grave is not going to hold me. Hallelujah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, the Son of God will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. The grave is not going to hold me. Hallelujah. This is the sign that I'm going to give you. He promised them the sign of his resurrection. He challenged them. Watch my grave. Hallelujah. Watch my grave. Praise God. You want a sign? Watch my grave. I'm coming out of that grave. The grave's not going to hold me. Death's going to have to loose its bands. I'm coming out of that grave. If you want a sign, watch my grave, Jesus said. You remember at his crucifixion? They remembered his promise to rise again the third day. They said, we want you to give us a guard. Went to Pilate and said, give us a guard to post at this grave. Because that deceiver said, that deceiver said he was going to rise again the third day. Give us a guard. They put a guard before that tomb. Soldiers posted there. The Roman seal was upon that grave. That Roman seal said, anybody that tampers with this grave is going to face the authority of Rome. You better leave this grave alone. And soldiers were posted outside of that grave. But I'm here to tell you, the angel paid no attention to a Roman seal and came out of the heavens and scared the soldiers to death nearly. Roll that stone back and let us see that there was an empty grave, that Jesus had come out of that grave just like he said. And this is a sign I'm going to give to all of you, skeptics and unbelievers, and I'm coming out of that grave. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Thank God.
I'm going to take away your excuses.
Help you, God. That's right.
Hey.
That's
That's what he said. I'm going to take away your excuses.
Help me, God.
Praise God. When he was hanging on the cross, they said, if you be the Son of God, come down from that cross. Jesus could have come down from that cross. It would have been no problem to him. 12 legions of angels were standing by, just waiting for a word from the Son of God. And he could have come down from that cross. But Jesus knew that he was coming out of the grave. He'd already told them, this is the sign. Watch my grave. Coming out of that grave, brother, he took away the excuses of the skeptics. He took away, disarmed those who would deny his deity. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, y'all listen to me this morning. I want you to get a grasp of this resurrection. I want you to understand the importance of this resurrection. I want you to get a hold of this resurrection, because you cannot go to heaven unless you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I mean, believe it from your heart.
That's right.
Well, the Bible says, he said, he that confesseth with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in his heart. Believes in his heart the God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's something about this resurrection, brother. When you get a hold of this in your heart, and it will transform your life. It'll make you a disciple of Jesus. It'll give you a passion for Jesus. Hallelujah. When you understand that he's been declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Oh, love that song we sang. But you know, hear me this. The resurrection shook the world. I mean, literally shook the world. For the Bible says in our Sunday school text this morning, when that angel came down from heaven, that the earth, there was an earthquake. The earth literally shook as that angel came down from heaven. The resurrection shook the world.
Glory to God.
It's still shaking the world.
Yes, it is.
We sang that song this morning. Christ arose. Low in the grave. Jesus, my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He arose. Listen, listen, listen. Vainly they watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. Woo! Vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Out from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Third verse said, death cannot keep his grave. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, hallelujah. My text says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He was distinguished, marked out, illuminated as being the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, given preeminence that was due unto him. The grave could not hold him. Are you listening to me this morning? I want you to understand that you have no excuse for marginalizing Jesus in your life. He has been declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. Praise God. The Lord God has certified the man and the message by the resurrection from the dead. I said God has certified the man and the message by the resurrection Jesus and perish. I'm telling you. You ignore Jesus and perish. Put him on the sidelines and perish him. Make him just an afterthought and perish him. But I'm telling you, Jesus has risen from the dead. He must be the most important person in your life.
Yes.
That's right.
For the Bible tells us that God hath highly exalted him.
Yes.
Given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, my brother. Oh, yes. Y'all hearing me now, aren't you? I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus is not going to be your spare tire. He's not going to be your spare tire. Somebody that's handy in an emergency. You've got to be like the Apostle Paul, thoroughly convinced of the resurrection of Jesus. Walking up that Damascus road, thoroughly convinced Jesus is dead, a dead criminal. But when he got up out of the dust of that road, he was thoroughly convinced Jesus Christ was the righteous, living, resurrected Son of God. And he followed Jesus from that point on and never looked back. Jesus was his Savior and his Lord. And he never looked back from that point. Jesus was no spare tire for Paul. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Brother, that's the kind of Savior he wants to be to you, so that he is the most important person in your life.
Amen.
I want to preach. I'm telling you, I want to preach. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't shouting for me.
Oh, bless you.
That's all right. I know I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
Help him, God.
I feel like preaching.
Help him, God.
And my body, I run out of strength. But I love Jesus. Praise
help him, God.
I know what he did for me.
Right.
I know he's lived.
Right.
Yes, he
praise
is.
God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
God.
Yes. I said he became my life. Just a young teenager, Jesus became my life. The Word of God became important to me. The person of Jesus Christ became important to me.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, he still is this morning. This grand old story, this grand old gospel story still touches my heart, still excites my soul. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the most important person in my life this morning. I love him. Do you love him this morning? He's the risen Christ, the Savior of the world, this morning. You can't ignore him. He's to be worshipped. Worshipped with our tongue. Worshipped from our heart.
Yes.
Worshipped by our service.
Yes, Amen.
Every Sunday school teacher that loves Jesus pours her heart into what she's doing. Every preacher that loves Jesus pours his heart into what he's doing for Jesus. I pray to God, God, before I offer this message to this congregation, I'm offering it to you. I want you to be worshipped. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be honored. If you're not worshipped, if you're not honored, if you're not glorified, it ain't worth preaching.
That's right.
When you're singing for Jesus, sing with all your heart.
Yes.
We're worshiping Him.
That's right.
That is our service, our worship.
Yes, it is.
We worship Him
yes,
in our service for Jesus.
That's right.
Brother, that Bible,
oh, God.
We love it.
Yes, we do.
Because that's where He speaks to us.
Amen.
The pages of that book. Oh, we cannot marginalize Jesus. He's the Son of God, declared to be that by the resurrection from the dead. And then I want you to understand how Sister Judy comes to the piano. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we send shudders through hell. Peter confessed at Caesarea Philippi, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What rock? The rock of the confession that Peter made.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Jesus said, I'll build my church on that rock. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm telling you, when you belong to Jesus Christ, when you belong to hell,
thank you. Thank you.